Welcome to a reading of the appendix, Teaching Others, in virtualbibleacademy.org's Disciple Making One, Abiding in His Word. It's from the study book, pages 155 through 159. I'm John Morris, the author of this course. I'll be reading the content of this lesson. Follow along in the study book if you'd like to, or just listen. Either way is fine. Page 155, Appendix, Teaching Others. Listen to the words of Paul. "And the things which you have heard from me, in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." 2 Timothy 2:2. You should be better equipped to be a disciple since you have completed these 10 Disciple Making 1 lessons. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, you should continue to grow to become a disciple maker. Two important words in the life of a disciple maker are apply and multiply. Apply what you learn to your own life, then multiply it to others, helping them become disciples and disciple makers. Paul wrote about disciple making in the verse that I read from above. Paul had taught Timothy, then he encouraged Timothy to teach the same things to faithful men who could teach those same things to others. The multiplication process was from Paul to Timothy to faithful men to others. That's the goal of the Disciple Making One course. "The things which you have learned from me in this course, entrust these to faithful believers who will be able to teach others also." That's me to you, to faithful believers, to others also. Become a disciple maker by teaching some of what you have learned in Disciple Making One. Now, teaching the full course is challenging, so you might want to start by teaching just parts of it. Opportunities to teach may be all around you, in a Bible study, in a Sunday school, or one-on-one with a friend. One-on-one teaching can be an easy place to start. You can teach new believers, young believers, or more mature believers who want to use it to help others. Pray. Ask God for an opportunity. God will give you the right opportunities if you are equipped and willing. This appendix is designed to help you make the transition from student to teacher, from disciple to disciple maker. If you have the right goal and follow some simple guidelines, you can become a better teacher, and you can enjoy the process of teaching. The goal of teaching is changed lives, increased knowledge resulting in increased obedience. Simply stated, the product of good teaching is full lives, not full notebooks. Paul wrote this about his own teaching, Colossians 1:28, "And we proclaim him, Jesus, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ." This appendix gives some simple guidelines for teaching, and these are in four areas: understanding what teaching is, preparing the teacher, preparing the lesson plan, and teaching the lesson. Follow these guidelines and you will be a better teacher. Learn them before you teach. Apply them as you teach. Review them after you teach. Page 156, Understanding the Process of Teaching. Preaching and teaching are different. Preaching and teaching are different. Preaching persuades people. Teaching equips people. The goal of preaching is to motivate to immediate action. The goal of teaching is to increase knowledge that leads to immediate and long-term action. The preacher's listeners do not necessarily retain much of the content of the sermon, but are motivated to change their lives. The teacher's students learn and retain knowledge and therefore change their lives. I have preached Lesson 4, the Old Testament, and people have been impressed by how much I know about the Old Testament. But I have also taught that lesson, and people are impressed by how much they learned about the Old Testament. Good preaching and good teaching are important. Both are good. But they are different in goals and have different methodologies. The definitions. Preaching is proclaiming, professing, persuading. Teaching is equipping, imparting knowledge, causing to learn, and training in knowledge and application. Preaching persuades, encourages, exhorts, and, in today's westernized church, also entertains people to believe, behave, and belong. Teaching transfers knowledge to students, equipping them to believe, behave, and belong. New Testament examples. Two different words are used in the New Testament for preaching and teaching. Those two words are not synonyms. Jesus preached to the multitudes, but he taught his disciples. Paul preached the gospel, but he taught believers to grow in Christ. New Testament preaching was often done with the preacher standing and to an audience of non-believers. But New Testament teaching was often done with the teacher sitting and to an audience of believers. There are the similarities. Good teaching has good biblical content. Good preaching has good biblical content. But good biblical content does not make it teaching. Preaching without good content is no more than bad preaching. Classic rhetoric needs to be mastered. Good preaching and good teaching include the three elements of classic rhetoric: logos, ethos, and pathos. Both skills need a logical, content-rich presentation. That's logos. Both skills need a logical, content-rich presentation, logos, from a credible presenter and a credible presentation. That's ethos, a credible presenter and a credible presentation, ethos. And then with convincing persuasion, pathos. Good preaching is important. I have preached many times, and I regularly listen to good preaching. And I've taught many times, sometimes 30 or 40 hours in a single week. I know that the methodologies, the skills, are different. And good teaching is as difficult, if not more so, than good preaching. Different methodologies. The skills, the methodologies, are very different. Preaching doesn't require listeners to bring much out of their long-term knowledge memories. Teaching requires the student to retrieve what they have stored in long-term memory. It is the teacher's responsibility to cause that retrieval. Preaching seeks acknowledgement and agreement, neither of which requires significant cognitive integration, that's mental processing. It is fine if the preacher's audience cannot retain or restate the content and logic that persuaded them, as long as they are persuaded. Teaching seeks cognitive integration, mental processing. It seeks to help the student integrate new knowledge from the teacher into their previously retained knowledge. And preaching streams content in a continuous stream or flow of words, with little time for the listener's cognitive engagement. But teaching pulses information in cognitively processable chunks. Listening to you is like drinking from a fire hose. Might be a compliment to a preacher, but it is not a compliment to a teacher. Page 157, preparing the teacher. Good teaching begins with the preparation of the teacher. To prepare yourself as a teacher, you should pray, study, review, and model. Pray for yourself. Pray as Moses prayed. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as the droplets on the fresh grass, and as the showers on the herb. That's Deuteronomy 32:2. Pray as you prepare each lesson. Pray that you will understand and master each lesson. Pray as you prepare the lesson plan. Pray for teaching clarity, accuracy, enthusiasm, conviction, and for the Holy Spirit's work. Pray for your students by name. Pray that they will understand and apply the lessons to themselves. Paul's prayer for the believers in Colossae is a great example. Colossians 1, 9 through 12. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And study. First, know the material thoroughly. Learn the lesson for yourself. Examine each part of it. Think about it. Remember it. Study each section, chart, and map. Read and study the verses that are referenced. Know the lesson as a whole. Know the details. Master all of it. The second part of studying involves preparing the lesson plan. Knowing the lesson for yourself is different from knowing how to teach it to someone else. Guidelines for preparing the lesson plan are on the next page of this appendix. Studying is hard work. It takes time. There are no shortcuts. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. And review. After you have studied the lesson and prepared the lesson plan, review them many times. Reviewing many times makes the lesson your own, giving you thorough knowledge. Thorough knowledge gives confidence and comfort in teaching. When you thoroughly know the lesson, you can concentrate on the student getting it right rather than on you getting it right. And review the lesson every time before teaching it. You may be teaching it for the fifth time, but your students may be hearing it for the first time. And a final review, just a few minutes before teaching, can be a big help. And model. Be a good example of what you teach. Be an illustration of the lesson. Apply the lesson to yourself before you multiply it to others. Live it before you give it. By doing this, you will be a better teacher. You will show that the lesson can be learned and that it can be lived. And your students will believe your teaching because of your good example. Paul wrote, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." 1 Corinthians 11:1. And in speech, conduct, love, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. 1 Timothy 4:12. Be able to say to your students, "Come with me to higher ground. I've been there." Don't say, "Go there. I've only heard it's nice." You cannot teach your students to be more spiritual than you are. Jesus said, "A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he's been fully trained, will be like his teacher." Luke 6:40. Page 158 starts with preparing the lesson plan. The lesson plan is the answer to the question, how am I going to teach this lesson? The how is not the same as the what of teaching. The lesson plan is your instruction to yourself on how to teach the material. Write your lesson plan on the lesson pages. Set the goal. Decide what your goal is for each lesson. Know what you want the students, your students, to learn, remember, and apply, and build your lesson plan to achieve that goal. Pretest, teach, post-test. Pretesting helps the student bring to mind what they already know about the subject. Simply asking a few questions about the subject can make that happen. If you're teaching a group, ask them to not give the answer out loud. Because as soon as one person answers out loud, everyone else stops thinking. Then teach the lesson or section as described immediately below on this page. And finally, ask some questions, again with silent answers only, to help your students remember the content after you've taught. an overview, detail, and review. Good teaching includes all three of these. Build them into your lesson plan. The first step is a brief review of the lesson or the section. This gives the student a framework for the detailed content of the lesson. The next step is the detail of the lesson. This is the printed content, and this is the printed content and your handwritten notes. And the final step is a review of each section, short, and a review of the whole lesson. Tell them what you're going to tell them. Then tell them. And then tell them what you have told them. Follow this pattern, section by section, throughout the lesson. And add clarity. Good teaching is understood. Teaching needs to be clear and easily understood. Add definitions and illustrations. Those are word pictures. Good illustrations add clarity, explaining the unknown in terms of the known. Decide what questions you want to ask your students that will give them time to think, will get them thinking, and get them understanding the lesson. Prepare your notes. The best place to put your notes on your lesson is on the pages of the lesson. Write instructions to yourself. Write comments on the content of the lessons. Underline or circle for emphasis. Draw connecting arrows for progression or cause and effect. Put assignments for your students at the end of each lesson. Make your notes brief, simple, clear, thorough, and very legible. Remember, you will be referring to them as you teach. Then we come to actually teaching the lesson. Good teaching is a product of the preparation of the teacher and the preparation of a good lesson plan. Consistently good teaching doesn't happen without both of these. Take time to focus before teaching. In the few minutes just before teaching, take some time to focus your mind and heart on the lesson. Pray for yourself, your students, your teaching, and the Holy Spirit's work. Think about the goal of the lesson. Briefly review the lesson, especially the beginning of it. And state the purpose. State the purpose. Briefly tell your students the goal of the lesson. Tell them the purpose of your teaching. Their knowing what to expect makes your teaching and their learning easier. Page 159. Encourage learning and application. Paul encouraged his students, 1 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12, "You know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." Be like Paul, and your mastery of the lesson material shows that it can be learned, and honest, non-prideful, personal examples from your own life can be a great encouragement. And be clear, be simple, and be brief. Complexity is usually the enemy of understanding. Many words, and many big words, add complexity and confusion to teaching. A famous speech in the United States, Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address in 1863, was an illustration of simplicity adding to the impact of communication. Lincoln spoke for about 2 minutes. His speech contained only 262 words, and 202 of those were one-syllable words. So keep your lessons simple. Stay on subject. Adding a lot of extra detail or extra materials takes away from the student's understanding of the whole lesson. And adding all that makes the lesson less transferable to others. Overview, detail, and review. Follow your lesson plan by pretesting, then overviewing, detailing, reviewing, then post-testing. Do these things for each lesson. Don't forget pretesting and post-testing. And get them thinking. Good teaching gets the students mentally involved in the lesson. Put them in the role of discoverers. Pretesting and post-testing help that happen. Encourage them to underline and take notes. Get them thinking. Give them time to think. And keep them thinking. and put your students first. Their spiritual growth should be your highest priority in teaching. Their increased knowledge and obedience are the goals. Tell your students when you don't know an answer, then get the answer for the next time you meet. And teach only with attention. If people stop listening, stop talking. You cannot teach without attention. Plan ahead to eliminate distractions, and don't be surprised by distractions. They happen. Stop and wait for the distraction to be over, and start again when you have regained attention. Distractive students destroy learning. A gentle correction is usually enough, but if not, become more firm and direct. Talk to them alone afterwards to explain why you corrected them. And make a list of off-the-subject questions that come up and answer them outside of class time. Use question and answer times, class discussion, and breaks to keep attention or to regain attention. And lastly, evaluate your teaching. Evaluate your teaching. Review this appendix and evaluate your teaching after you have taught each lesson. And other teachers can help one another. Evaluate, correct, and encourage one another. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And don't be defensive when you are corrected. Proverbs 9, verses 8 and 9, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. Evaluate your teaching, and then make the necessary adjustments for the next class. Become a better and better teacher. And importantly, from 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This concludes the reading of the appendix, Teaching Others, in Disciple Making 1, Abiding in His Word.